does the author, especially the first-time author, really have any leverage to negotiate changes in a publisher's standard agreement?
Well, thanks, Kim. Let me start to answer that question by telling folks on the webinar something they probably already know but maybe don't fully appreciate the implications of, and that is that textbooks have a limited shelf life. In the college market that we're talking about here, I think the norm is probably about 3 years. Sales are, of course, strongest in the first full year after publication, and then they drop off precipitously in years two and three. So every publisher has, as a consequence of that fact of life, fact of publishing life, every publisher has a big hole in its revenue line every year that it has to fill just to stay even with the sales levels of the prior year. For example, if we had a publisher that was doing about $10 million a year in business and it continued in year two with just the same list of books that it had in year one, it might drop from $10 million in annual sales to $7 million in annual sales, and nobody wants to be that publisher. What that means is that they have to put new product into their process every year, and by new product, I mean they have to sign, turn up new projects and sign new projects for publication, as well as publishing new editions of older books. And as they put this new product into their process, there's inevitably some attrition along the way. Some contracts that, some proposals that get presented don't get signed. Some that get signed never get written. Some that get written never get published. And so a publisher has to put more product into the front end of their pipeline than they need to deliver to market at the end of the pipeline. And this is kind of a never-ending scramble. And what it means is that the publisher needs you as much as you need them, because you're the source of the new product that's going to fill this gap that they're experiencing every year. By the time a publisher identifies you as somebody who can help them with that problem, by the time they decide to offer you a contract, they're going to be significantly invested in you in terms of their time and effort, significantly invested in hopefully landing your deal. They will have reviewed your proposal, decided that it's worth a closer look, maybe had the proposal in a couple of sample chapters reviewed internally, maybe they've sent it out for outside review. That process takes some time. They will have probably developed what we call a pro forma profit and loss statement, sort of a business plan for the development of the book and what it's going to cost and how many they need to sell and that sort of thing. And they will have, having pulled all of this stuff together, they will have gone to their editorial board or publishing committee or senior management for levels of internal approval to go forward with your project. And this whole thing can take many months. So if something happens and they end up investing this much time and effort in your deal and don't get it signed, they're back to square one with somebody that they haven't started with yet. Not to worry, though, because there's plenty of room for them to negotiate to land you if you're resistant to the offer that they first make. The document that they present to you initially has been prepared on a form for the publisher, drafted by their lawyers with their interests in mind, and believe me, there is plenty of room for them to negotiate. They don't make their best offer first.
All right, thanks, Steve. The next question is, what is the single most important issue to negotiate in a book contract?
Well, the answer to that question is going to vary from author to author. There really isn't any one-size-fits-all solution. It's going to be driven by the motivation for writing the textbook in the first case. And in some cases, the motivation might be primarily money. The author might be interested in a lot of royalties, maybe some significant advances as a result of their writing efforts. But that's not the case for everybody. That's not everybody's motivation for writing. Some folks might be most interested in a guarantee that this book that they have in mind is eventually going to actually see the light of day, and perhaps sooner rather than later. A great example of that would be someone who is teaching English literature and needs to have their first novel published one of the milestones that they have to pass on their way to tenure. And so somebody who's writing for that purpose, who's interested in tenure and in a position where a book of some sort or other can get them, help get them tenure, that's going to be their primary objective. Somebody who's teaching accounting or somebody who's teaching law, for example, who might have a consulting business or a practice on the side and who wants to have a book as a sort of their professional bona fides, a testament to their expertise in a particular subject area, is going to want to be sure that that book gets published in exactly the form that they want it published. And so for them, maybe the most important issue is having maximum editorial control and artistic control, that sort of thing. So really, the answer varies depending on the individual interests and motivation of the author at issue.